Chapter 52, Nettlebrand's End. Sorrel ran. She ran back along the endless tunnel. "He's coming!" she cried. "He's coming!" Swift as an arrow, she shot into the cave, ran straight over to Firedrake, and hauled herself up by his tail. Ben was already on the dragon's back with Twigleg perched on his lap, the way they had ridden on so many nights of their journey. Berberchan sat astride Maya, crouched between the two of the she-dragon's crest spines.
"He's rolling up the mountain like one of those machines humans use,"
gasped Sorrel, buckling the straps around her waist.
"He's snorting and grunting. He's as big as..."
"Bigger than any of us,"
the rat interrupted, starting the engine of her plane.
"Come on, then. Time to put our plan into action."
She closed her cockpit, took off immediately, and flew a wide arc to a ledge above the entrance to the tunnel where she waited for Nettlebrand to appear.
"Good luck," cried Firedrake to Maya, flexing his wings. "Or do you think a dragon brings luck only to human beings?"
"Who knows," replied Maya. "But anyway, we need as much of it as we can get."
"Twigleg,"
said Ben, checking the straps one last time. "Hold on tight, won't you?" The homunculus nodded and stared at the tunnel entrance. His heart was thumping as if he were a mouse in a trap. Suppose that stupid dwarf had diluted the brownie saliva so much that it wouldn't work.
"Sure you wouldn't rather stay in a backpack?" Ben whispered to him.
But Twigleg shook his head vigorously. He didn't want to miss a minute of this. He wanted to see Nettlebrand perish. He wanted to see the golden armor he had polished for so many years melt as the dragon fire turned Nettlebrand back into whatever creature he was made from.
Suddenly, Sorrel sat up very straight.
"Hear that?"
she said hoarsely. They all heard it, even Ben with his feeble human ears. A hollow stamping sound echoed along the tunnel. He was coming closer at a menacingly slow pace. Nettlebrand had tracked down his prey. He was on the trail. Ben and Sorrel clutched the straps. Twigleg leaned back against the boy's stomach. The two dragons spread their wings and rose into the air. Side by side, they flew up to the roof of the cave where they circled in the dark, waiting. The stamping came closer and closer. The whole cave seemed to shake. Then Nettlebrand's golden head emerged from the tunnel. He was crouching. It was the only way his gigantic body could fit into the tunnel carved through the rock by the Dubedai. Slowly, with eyes that glowed as red as blood, he looked around him. He snuffled, greedily drawing in the dragon's den. Ben heard him breathing heavily after his long climb. An aura of malice and cruelty emanated into the cavern like a dark miasma. Little by little, Nettlebrand forced his massive body through the narrow confines of the tunnel until at last he hauled himself clear of it, and his whole awesome, mighty figure stood there in the cave. His legs were bent with the weight of the armor covering every last part of his dreadful body, his tail dragging heavily over the ground behind him, bristled with sharp spikes. Snorting, teeth bared, the monster looked around, and an impatient roar rose from his chest. Lola Greytail took off from the edge, bringing the plane whizzing down toward Nettlebrand's armored skull, whirring in circles around his horns, racing past his eyes. Taken by surprise, Nettlebrand flung his head up and snapped at the plane as if it were a bothersome fly.
"Not so close," breathed Ben. "Don't get so close to him, Lola."
But the rat was an ace airwoman. Unpredictable and fast as lightning, she whirred around the monster's head, dipped under his chin, and raced between his legs. She landed on his back and took off again just as he was going to snap her up and gradually lured him farther and farther into the cave. The game the rat was playing infuriated the golden one.
He struck out, roared, and snorted, trying to crush this annoying little nuisance. Stamp on it, bite it. It was keeping him from his real prey.
When Nettlebrand had come to a halt in the middle of the cavern, right in front of the stone dragons,
Firedrake swooped down from the roof, wings rushing and neck outstretched. He flew at Nettlebrand from the front, while Maya came at him from the side.
Surprised, the monster flung up his head, spitting and baring his terrible fangs. His foul breath almost made the dragons falter. Lola turned her plane and landed neatly on the head of one of the stone dragons. She had done her work for the moment. Now it was Fire Drake and Maya's turn. The two dragons circled above their enemy's head. Growled Nettlebrand, salivating as he followed them with his red eyes.
So there are two of you!
His voice shook the stone columns. It was deep and hollow as if it were booming down an iron pipe.
And with your brownies on board, too! Not bad! Brownies always make a nice pudding!
Pudding?
Sora leaned so far down from Firedrake's back that Nettlebrand's hot breath singed her whiskers.
You're the one who's on the menu today, you great golden meatball!
Nettlebrand didn't so much as look at her. He cast Firedrake and Maya a brief glance, licked his lips, and reared up menacingly.
Where are the others?
He snarled, looking around impatiently. His whole body was quivering with greed as his claws scraped fitfully over the stony ground.
Come out!
He bellowed, horns thrusting at the empty air.
Come on out! I want to hunt you all together! I want to see you scatter like a flock of frightened ducks when I bring one of you down!
Bellowing, he raised one claw and smashed a stalactite as if it were made of glass. Splinters of stone shot around the cavern, but the two dragons, flying as steadily as ever, kept on circling above his head.
There are no others!
Called Firedrake, diving so low that his wings almost brushed Nettlebrand's nose. Ben and Sorrel both felt their hearts miss a beat as they came so close to the monster. Clutching their straps, they cowered down behind Firedrake's spines.
We're the only dragons here, cried Maya, skimming over Nettlebrand's back. But we will overcome you. Wait and see. He and I will defeat you with our dragon riders.
Furiously, Nettlebrand whipped around.
Dragon riders!
He twisted his muzzle, taunting them.
Trying to scare me with those old stories, are you? Where are the others!
Ben didn't notice Twigleg slipping out of his strap. Inconspicuously as a tiny mouse, the homunculus clambered up the boy's jacket and stood on his shoulder.
Twigleg! Cried Ben, horrified.
But the homunculus wasn't looking at him. Cupping his hands around his mouth, he shouted in a shrill voice,
Hey! You! Up here! Look who's here! Master!
Nettlebrand's head shot up in surprise.
Here I am, Master!
Shouted Twigleg.
On the dragon rider's shoulder! There aren't any other dragons! Get it? I lied to the dwarf! I lied to you too! You are going to melt, and I am going to stand by and watch!
Twigleg cried, but get down!
He tried to pluck the homunculus off his shoulder, but Twigleg clung to his hair, shaking his tiny fist.
This is my revenge!
He screeched.
This is my revenge, Master!